Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hi! Oh.
Maybe?
Why are you taking
I forgot
long?
What we do.
Oh, gosh.
Because I was looking at the show notes.
You say hello. You see your name, you say hello. I was like, I'm not waiting for this loser anymore.
He is easily, easily distracted.
I really want a donut.
Today we're going to be playing Downforce, designed by Wolfgang Kramer of El Grande, the Princes of Florence, to call. He's got a lot of games you've never heard of, but I'm sure they're great.
Some I've heard of.
Developed by Rob Davio of Pandemic Legacy 1 and 2, Risk Legacy, and all the Legacy games. Graphic design by Jason Taylor. Illustration by Travis Covern. Game board illustration by Michael Crampton. Published by Restoration Games.
Oh, Restoration Games. So they're like the ones I remember this guy like was talking about it at one of the Tom Vassell shows, the live one. This is where they like take old games and they redo them.
It's done by Restoration Games because this was originally a game designed by Wolfgang Kramer as Tempo way back in 1974.
That's a good year.
It was re-implemented by Nikki Lotta as, I'm going to say Formal One, because that's what my show notes say.
Well, I think that guy is a racer, so I think the name is Nikki Lotta's Formal One.
Okay. Ah. And then in 1980, Daytona 500 in 1990. And then I guess Top Race is 1996. So it's been redone quite a few times.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, either it's
Tom Vassell has always said, like, Tom Vassell's thing is like, people were like, oh, when's it going to get reprinted? And it's like, well, if the game is good, like, it will get reprinted. So the fact that it's been reprinted now, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times now, probably means it's a good game.
Reprints, or is it reworked?
So I think Restoration reworks it a little bit. So like, I think like Fireball Island, if you remember the commercials back when we were kids, like, it was literally just a roll and move game with the gimmick of every now and again, you would have to push a button and, you know, marbles would roll down the track. But they've turned Fireball Island into like a legit game. So they take the games and they redesign them to fit better in today's aesthetic, and then, you know, add some rules and fix some things that might have been broken in the past. Like, I think from what I read, like, Tempo is basically, it was a roll and move game. There was nothing else to it. But they've like since like, you know, made it better as they went through.
All right. So the description: high stakes bidding on $1 million race cars, frantic bets placed in secret as the cars race around the track, and to the victor, the biggest payout of all. .. We don't get told what that is. I'm assuming it's money. In the world of motor racing, the margin between victory and defeat can be a single moment. Mm-hmm. A steep bank turn, tires screaming and spitting out smoke, and the downforce, they drop the name, pressing you down in your seat is keeping you track and keeping you on the track as you make your move inside to pull ahead. The mechanics are auction bidding, betting and bluffing, hand management, moving multiple units, race, variable player powers.
Oh my God, I know some of these and I like them.
Yay!
Yay!
The box art is a angled Formula One car racing towards you as a guy.
It looks like a movie poster. Like, when I look at the box, I immediately thought of the Sylvester Stallone movie that was Open Wheel Racing. I had to look up the title because apparently it was garbage. I just remember it existed, called Driven.
Yeah, so it's like it's kind of
like a Miami Vice 1980 scheme.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind, too. And mm-hmm. then it's at a 45 degree angle. So the cars are racing sideways at you. And there's a guy in
holding a
helmet.
Cup.
And then, he's in the background holding his cup because I guess he won the biggest payout,
which is a gold cup.
So based on all this, would you pull it off of a shelf?
I don't know that it would be like my first choice. I mean, it doesn't look bad, but I mean, aside from the fact that you did read off some of the mechanics that I probably would be interested in, but the rest of it, and I do like racing, so don't get me wrong, but we've also played a lot of racing games that were real bad.
I was going to say, this is the next in our series of Kiwi making us play racing games.
I know, so I don't know. I'm a little
iffy.
Which ones
were bad? We've played Camel Cup. We all like that.
Yeah. But what about
Formula D? Nobody hated that one.
nobody loved it.
What other racing? I loved it. Paxton loved it.
The bike game.
Which bike game? Oh, yeah. Flamme Rouge. Yeah, nobody liked that one. I mean, there are people out there that like that one. None of us liked it.
Mixed reviews for us on the racing games.
Yeah.
Kiwi, I assume you would pull this off of a shelf?
Yeah. Well, one, because I thought originally Downforce was Formula D. and I like the idea of Formula D, but I think this is actually going to... I don't want to taint it.
Okay.
After you guys guess.
Yeah, yeah. On our previous deep dives, we have discussed themes that don't really resonate with us. I'm going to add racing to mine. I found. And until you get to the mechanics make me think of Camel Cup. And so now I'm more interested. But up until that point, meh. Especially like Restoration Games in general doesn't... I'm not a nostalgic person. Like when they did the whole Fireball Island campaign, I was like, I don't want to play a crappy game from the 80s. I mean, I know you said that they redo them and they make them more legitimate modern games. I don't, in my head, I'm thinking, pass. So I think Restoration Games has like the opposite effect on me as it does with most people, and that I kind of disregard them probably unfairly to start with.
I think so far, like the only one that they've really remade that I'd even heard of was Fireball Island. And I just remember the commercials. I remember like when they were like, we're remaking Fireball Island. I was like, well, what's next? Crossfire? Or like, are they going to remake Crossfire?
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Yeah. A real game of Hungry, Hungry Hippos. I might get into that, you know, Hungry, Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Like that's something.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to get into other games too. Like, I think the Unmatched series that they have going, like the card games with a little bit of models, I think that's more of an original game. I don't know if that's based off anything, but yeah, I'm on board with Eric. Like the games that they've done so far, like I haven't even heard of. So like I've had zero interest. And then when I look at them, like they're these huge, super expensive productions. And it's just like, I can see why people would get into this because people are nostalgic and they are improving the game to make it better. It's not, you know, the crappy 80s game that they're just bringing back.
My whole thing is like most current release is built on all the games that came before it, right? Like there's no totally brand new idea. They're always taking in pieces from the past. So like every game is really built on these original concepts. So all because you take an old game and like rework it so it's more modern, like how is that different than any other game other than you're going after the nostalgia factor?
It's like rebooting old Hollywood television shows and movies.
Yeah, which I also hate. Like, are we all out of ideas that we can't come up with an original movie anymore?
Apparently.
Like I said, even there's nothing as original because everything is built on the past. So like, I don't see the reason why you need to hype it as, other than to get the nostalgia factor. And so.
Which I think is what they're going for. But.
Well, do we want to talk about nostalgia then talk about how we think it's going to go?
No, how do you think it's going to play? Okay. I desperately need to know if you guys can figure this out.
Well, I mean, we've decided it's just like Camel Cup, but with cars.
Well, here's where it throws me off is that it has variable player powers.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember.
I don't see how we can be the race car drivers if we're doing the auction betting, because isn't that like...
But yeah, no, because you read it. You were not the drivers.
It's a real Pete Rose situation.
What did he get jailed for?
Pete Rose didn't get jailed. He got banned for life from baseball for betting on baseball.
It's high stakes bidding on $1 million race cars.
Right. So we're not the drivers. We're getting that out of the way.
Yeah.
So what are our variable players? Like are player characters like different rich betting people? Like I'm going to be like the
down on his luck guy.
Well, no, you'll be Tony Stark. I'm going to be like, you know, the guy who's lost all his money and is desperately just trying to like dig himself deeper into a hole by continuing to bet, mm-hmm. you know, basically mm-hmm. homeless at this point. And then mm-hmm. Kiwi is going to be
some new guy that just like comes in.
Well, he's the guy like who has to hide his betting habit from like his family. Oh, and so like his kids are just in the background of his player card, like, no, we need food tonight. And you're like, but I got this one.
It's the AFN commercial where the airman comes in and just keeps putting his rank on the table to gamble with his rank. Yeah, that's what you do.
Really going to resonate with the audience, that one.
Yeah, well, our one or two people that have seen AFN, they'll get it.
All right, so that's our variable player powers and who we're going to be playing. So we're other than that, it's Camel Cup, right?
Yeah, right.
What hand are we managing?
We're gonna to move the cars. We're gonna have hands.
Oh, okay. So it's gonna be like Flamme Rouge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're gonna draw hands of cards. It's just in this game, instead of moving our own, we can move all of them.
Yeah.
We're putting cars on a track. We're gonna move them based on the hands we draw. We're gonna bet on them, and based on our style of betting, we're gonna have player powers. But in a twist, the player powers are gonna be like not how we affect the cars movement, but how we affect our betting. So Kiwi has to bet everything, and as Tony Stark, it doesn't bother me. He's got to bet his kids. Mm-hmm. I've got to bet everything. And you're just throwing money around like it's nothing. Like, even if you lose, you're automatically going to win. Because even if you like lose out on a million, you're still going to be richer than everyone else. So
I love that in these games, I get to be Brad Pitt and Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. all in one day. This is fantastic. This is, yeah.
All right, let's get some history up in this piece.
When I first was like thinking about it. Okay, so one, unbeknownst to me, I watched, there's a documentary on Netflix on Formula One racing, and I started watching it last night and really love racing. I got so excited by the film footage of racing Formula One cars. So I'm totally prepared for this game. The history of Formula One. So history of racing in general, a couple of things came to mind. One, in the United States, NASCAR, I know this is not Formula One, but just a real brief like tidbit on NASCAR in the United States, started, of course, by people who were, bootlegging in the whole East Coast area, bootleggers making faster and faster cars to outrun the cops to sell their, not really bathtub gin, but their totally backyard still gin. So very similar. But one thing I remember about early racing in Europe, which Formula One is more kind of European style, is back in the day, me and a friend did a little tour of some of the champagne houses in Epernay, in the Champagne region. And she said how people in the 20s used to race their cars through the caves and like basically not explode any of the champagne bottles. And that was like one of my early impressions of seeing like kind of early 1920s, 1930 cars, right? That are already kind of long, and some of them could get very small. I mean, not quite Formula One styles, but you could start to see the precursor to Formula One style cars, right? In those 20s and 30s automobiles that would be used for racing. And then just like driving them fast through these like crazy caves and tunnels underneath all of these champagne houses with just like piles and piles of champagne bottles, like sitting and storing on the side. And then it just reminds me that when you win a race, right, everybody always shakes the champagne bottles and then spews it everywhere. And I'm always like, what a waste of good champagne. So there you go. Formula One racing did start in the 20s and 30s, became official after World War II. In Europe, and it is linked to actual champagne. So how much champagne do I get to drink at the end of this for winning with my Tony Stark betting card?
Well, you don't get to be Tony Stark. So the game is going to be played over two distinct portions. The game starts with an auction phase where players are going to gain cars, and then it moves on to the race portion, which is the majority of the game and where the betting occurs. The player with the most money at the end of the game is the winner. So we're going to go through randomly the cards that are in the game, and there's going to be a power card, which is where the variable player powers come in, and a speed 8 card. That speed 8 card is going to be, there's one to match each color, and basically we're going to bid on that particular car.
Okay, wait. So speed 8 as in like, sorry, I just went 8 ball.
Okay. No, it's just a card that would let you move that car 8 spaces.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we're all going to already have our hand, and that's the hand that we're going to get to use for the rest of the game. And to bid on the car, you're going to play a card from your hand that has that particular color. So if we're bidding on the green color and you want it, then you would bid a card that has green and a number. The player who has the highest value of that card is going to purchase that car, and that value that they bid is going to be taken off from what they win at the end of the game. And you're also going to get that power that comes with it. All the players are going to end up with at least one car. If the auction reaches a point where there are an equal number of available cars and there are players without cars, only those people without cars can bid. And if at any point there is one more car and only one person left, then that player will play the card with the lowest value of that color, and they will pay just that. The car whose player, so we're, before we do that, we're going to randomly place all the cars on the starting spaces, and there's a one space at the start line, and that whoever bought that car will go first, and then they'll play, and then play will go clockwise. And then what you're going to do on your turn is you're going to play a single card from your hand, and those cards are going to have colors and numbers on them. And then they're also going to be in order from top to bottom. So then what you're going to do is you're going to go through and you're going to move each car in order from top to bottom, the number of spaces. And then there are also white cars, which are wild, and you can move any car that isn't on the card. And if the card has two wilds, you have to move different cars. So you can't move the same car in the same round. So the rules, so unlike Formula D, where you had to have the certain number of turns going through, the only rules for moving is you always have to move forward. So you can either go forward to the space in front of you or forward to a space one to the right, so caddy corner. And you can't move through spaces with other cars, so you could jam up and block other cars from moving. And it is legal for you to move a car in such a way that it gets blocked and can't move its full amount. On the map, there are three big thick yellow lines. When the first car crosses that line, everyone is going to make a bid on their player sheet on which color car they think is going to be finish the race first. You can bet on the same car every time. You can bet on different cars. You don't have to bet on your car. You can bet on other people's cars. It doesn't matter. Based on when you picked that car to cross the finish line, you'll get different amounts of money based on where they finished. As cars cross the finish line, we're going to put them on places on the board for first through sixth. So once they cross the finish line, we'll put them on the map. And then there's going to be payouts for who owns the car. So if your car finishes first, you get $12 million. If your car finishes last, you get no bucks. And then you're going to get money based on if you predicted where people would finish or which cars would finish in the top three based on when you bet on them. So you're going to add up your bets, you're going to add up your racing payouts, and then you're going to subtract whatever you paid for your cars, and then whoever has the most is the winner. And that's the rules. One other rule.
It just keeps going.
I know. Yeah.
If you buy more than one car, you'll have more than one variable plower. You can only have one, so you'll have to select of all the ones that you got and return the other ones.
My question is, how do I get the blue car?
You will have to bid on the blue car.
I am ready to get some champagne, so let's play. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
We just finished a game of Downforce. To recap, BP came in a close second with 12 million, but I slightly outbid her, I don't know what we were doing really, and won with 15 million. Kiwi did in fact have to sell his children and is at negative 4 million as he would only bet on himself. He's either highly confident or a narcissist. I'm not sure.
I thought I had it.
All right. Strategy. So I guess, I didn't really know what I was doing in the betting. I bet blue just to take it from BP because I'm a jerk. That was really my only plan in all that initial phase. And then once I came out, I think blue came out strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet on blue the first checkpoint. But then once I kind of got there, I figured out how the game was working and I realized I had a ton of black cards And so I bet on black the next two checkpoints because I figured BP would be pushing him ahead and then I would be able to help him out. So that was kind of my plan because I did not have very many blue cards for my I had orange and blue as my cars predicted what BP would do. And then well, with blue, I figured you'd still be helping out blue because you'd bet on him. The winner, as I think Kiwi's strategy found out, two people have to be working towards a car for it to really win.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think the overall strategy was Eric and BP gang up on Kiwi.
It wasn't intentional, though, because like...
No, I don't... I mean...
At the end, I think it was a little...
It was way more intentional. At least for me, it was.
I was going to win. It wasn't because I knew I had black cards. Just if I had happened to have orange cards, I would have pushed orange through to the end. But because I knew that I had black cards and I'd be able to help that car... Like, I bet, like, by the time you thought I was ganging up on you, I had already bet on black the last two checkpoints. So I had already gone all in on making black first. So it seemed like it, but that wasn't the intention.
Yeah, obviously I bet on blue first, but then I went through and bet on black because I was doing well. Then you were starting to pull your orange car ahead and I was like, all right, I'm going to bet on orange. Just whoever happened to be strong that wasn't Kiwi. And then by the end, I was definitely trying to thwart that yellow car from getting through. And so I was very happy when Eric helped push black through. And so I helped make sure that orange and blue kind of kept going because I actually did have a lot of orange and blue cards, even though he stole those cards from me in the initial play. Kiwi, did you have a strategy on losing?
Jeez.
If you're not well, first, you're last. Yellow cards, but I'm first so and last.
So. I bet on yellow because I had the most yellow cards, just because I figured I could push that one through, which is why I was able, I got out to a big lead. And then like that last turn, I just didn't have the cards to keep it going. So I almost wish I had saved that 8 card instead of rushing forward, because I think it helped out everybody behind me too. And then I bought green because green's my favorite color, but I didn't really have the cards to push it through. So I really needed everybody else's help to even get it to fifth place.
So like, I think that's the key is like you, when you pulled yellow way out ahead, we all stopped playing yellow cards. So yeah. I think you got to kind of keep it pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then rush forward at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I did. I stopped. I was like, oh, I got like, I still have in my hand, I have like a 6 yellow on top. And I was like, nope.
All right. Theme. What'd you think of the theme?
I mean, I felt like we were betting. I felt like we were. I don't know like about how we were trying to race, but I definitely felt like it was like Camel Cup where we were trying to push the cars ahead that we were betting on.
Yeah. I like the chaos. Like I felt like it was a chaotic race. Like I didn't feel necessarily like an, I guess maybe an owner, but there were other places where like, you know, like you guys didn't bet necessarily on cars that you owned.
No, because
you were able to push
I'm
those
Tony
cards
Stark.
Forward. So we, yeah, you're kind of playing not just the like the owner, because like the owner would always want their car to win.
Right. But you're also kind of racing and you're also a bettor.
Yeah. So you're kind of taking like multiple roles. Like I felt like the hecticness, like that's what I would imagine that an actual race would be that hectic with like people pulling over, you know, pulling ahead of other people. And then like that climactic, like this guy's going to win the race. Then all of a sudden, like three cars. Yeah. 3 cars passed him yep. in the very last turn. Yep. He lost his edge. He just couldn't handle it. So I thought thematically, I felt like it was there.
Okay.
It does play as a race. You do get that kind of feeling at the end. I think Camel Cup did the same thing where it's like towards the end, we're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I did feel this is a little bit more of a disconnect because it does feel like you're playing multiple roles. Whereas we'd have to play it again, but I felt like in Camel Cup, you're mostly a bettor.
Yes.
Because maybe it's because they're camels. So like it doesn't feel as much as like this is the car that I own. Because like you could switch.
Well, that. Yeah, and you couldn't like strategically place the camels either to like block. Like this one had a little bit more in it because you could strategically place cars to block them, whereas in Camel Cup.
No, because the stacking kind of played that role. So like you would try to avoid stacking.
Yeah, but stacking could be good if it would
move
you forward
as well. Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like
if you were on the bottom of the stack.
Similar kind of role though of like, I want these guys to stack and I don't want these to stack or something. I don't know. I just felt like that was kind of the biggest theme disconnect is like, am I the owner that I really want my car? And I'm glad because I mean, I won because I decided I'm not the owner and I bet on black. Art BP?
Art, I mean, simplistic. It could get a little busy with the numbers, like especially if you had like all six cars on a card. I mean, I do like that they tried to have them kind of like a card deck where they have the numbers on both sides, so it doesn't matter which direction, but it also sometimes made them a little busy. I mean, it was still clear. I don't think this is a game that is necessarily going for an art award, though.
Yeah, it's boring. The board is pretty bland. It's just sort of doesn't really jump out at you of anything interesting. I mean, it does the job of like clearly marking the spaces, but overall it's kind of boring.
I mean, it tries to in the sidelines with these like horses and horse ranches. And I'm just confused like why there's like this country scene. Formula One usually takes place in cities.
Yeah. Why is that horse on a roof?
It's in a corral.
I think it's a field. It's a weird disconnect between, because like the board itself has a more cartoony feel.
Nothing else does.
Whereas the rest of the art, yeah, nothing else does. So like, I feel like it doesn't really match.
It's a weird decision on the board. And then when you first pulled these cards out, I thought those are the lamest cards I've ever seen. Like there's nothing on it, but like there's a middle checkerboard line and then like the colors for the cars and then a weird blobby version of the car color.
Yeah.
Like it's like a weird check. Like there could have been a cool background or something there. I don't know. I feel like these are just.
Well, there's the city, but that's that makes the disconnect look even starker, because now the card layout again tries to be a little bit more. It's that Miami Vice kind of almost realistic animation,
still very cartoony.
But then, yeah, the layout, the map on this, while it's more urban scape, is very cartoony. It's almost like that 1960s, 70s Jetsons Metropolis look.
Yeah, it's just like the art itself. Like, I don't think the art altogether like really makes or breaks the game.
Right, no.
But there is sort of a weird disconnect between what the map is and...
But I see how it could also show like... How much thought you put into like putting it all together? Did you put much thought into it, or was it the divided artist factor? And like one artist was assigned this role, and so that's what they went with. One artist assigned this role, and that's what they went with. Like
there was no art direction.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seemed like.
Mechanics, Kiwi.
So I thought it was kind of a mix between the betting that we saw in Camel Cup, because it had sort of similar aspects where you could make bets on which camels that you would think would finish. And based on when you place those bets during the game, you would get different amounts of points at the end. I like that. And then the movement was very similar to Formula D, which I thought was also an interesting, just the move mechanic itself. At the beginning of the game, when you guys were explaining stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, like I was about to say, like, it's Camel Cup meets Formula D.
I don't know if there's that much Formula D in it other than...
I think just the movement, and that, like, that's what I thought about, because it had very similar...
No, because in Formula D, though, I feel like somewhat the movement in that, like, you have this card and you move the cars in the same manner, but in Formula D, like you are controlling your car and you get to decide which dice you're even going to roll to make that movement. Whereas you're not, I don't know.
Yeah. No, well, Formula D, you are very clearly the driver.
Right.
And in Camel Cup, you are very clearly the better. Whereas, you know, we just established in this game that you are the driver, right. You are the better, you are the team owner.
Right.
You're taking on a lot more roles than you did in the other games.
The weird mechanic I felt was at the very start when we picked our cars and the player power. Like that just seemed like a weird, like you're picking a driver who has a player power, but then you're going to apply that power to other cars.
Yeah.
That just seemed like the most fiddly kind of mechanic that was in there.
Yeah. I feel like instead of doing that, like you should have just picked like, all right, we've got three players. Everybody gets two cars, pick your favorite colors. And then we'll randomly place them on the board. And then you should have just been bidding on powers.
On the power, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have worked. Well,
I feel like that would have been better.
But then you're kind of bidding based on your,
they wanted.
Yeah, but you're bidding based on your cards too. I don't know. I just a little more focus on that or split them up. So you do all your bidding for cards, but then you also bid on your player power. It just felt like the weirdest part of the game to me.
Yeah, it's so minimal too. Like that portion like happened so fast. And then the vast majority of the game is the race itself.
Yeah.
Just feels like there could have been an even faster, like easier way to get to the same place.
Yeah. Rules. Learning the game, BP?
I think at the beginning we were like, well, that was just a lot. But I think once we got through like the bidding phase, I mean, there were some, I think, awkwardness to it, which mechanic wise, you guys have kind of already brought up. But after that, I think it was pretty straightforward, especially after the first couple rounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you start racing, it comes up quick. It's just that bidding part that still didn't. I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll just pick colors.
Yeah.
Teaching it, Kiwi?
I mean, the rule book itself is laid out super easy. And so I felt like once we got maybe a third of the way, so maybe after the first bet, I think after the first bet, like everybody kind of understood what was going on. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I felt like from my side. I wish there was a section more, because we did have to look up the wording on the power cards. Some of them are a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. And there was not a section in the rule book about like, this is what this means. So I did have to Google that. So it's not a perfect rule book, but it was laid out well.
And because you picked the powers first thing, it's hard to really grasp what some of them did or how they would affect the game. So.
Yeah, because I feel like if I could have gone through like, hey, this is how you move your cars. And then, you know, cunning was the very first one that came out. So like being able to explain like, oh, being able to move your own car is very good because other people can't block you in. Like you can always put your car where you want it.
Player interaction, pretty direct. Moving cars and trying to figure out what cars they want. And then you got to figure out what they're thinking and what they're going to be doing. And then either try to play off of it or stop them. And then also physically moving their cars and trying to block each other and stuff.
It's always fun when we can gang up on Kiwi. I just have to say that.
Even if it was apparently unintentional and you guys and the viewers at home couldn't see my heavy air quotes.
Would you play it again, Kiwi?
No.
No?
I'd rather play Formula... Yeah, I'd rather play Camel Cup just because, like, the art doesn't really match up, whereas I think the art... Camel Cup is just funner to look at, and just the concept and the theme itself is more amusing. I think if I wanted a racing game, I would probably play Formula D, because I would like to try that with the advanced, where you're worried about, you know, all the stuff on your car instead of just, you know, you have 18 health points, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, finish. I would rather play it and worry about all the other stuff, because I think it would make it a more strategic game. I feel like this one wasn't really strategic in my mind. So I would play other racing games.
BP?
I mean, I once Kiwi brought up, he would play Camel Cup for the betting element. I love the betting element in games. Like, I perked up when I saw that. I mean, I might play it again if it's out, and it seems like a quick, easy game. So I feel like there's no harm, no foul in playing it again. I wouldn't seek it out. I mean, definitely if someone's like, hey, let's play a betting game, we've got these two and one of the two is Camel Cup, I'd definitely go for Camel Cup, and I'd be cheering on, right, my blue camel. But I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo this one.
Yeah, I'd say no on this one, just because this is where you said the art doesn't make or break the game. I think it does. Like, just the theme and the art of Camel Cup is just so much more interesting to me and just fun. Like this one, like I felt like I enjoyed the betting piece and I enjoyed that part. I didn't like having to think about the cars, because then I didn't want to be the race. Like, I don't like that it tries to do both things. I think you either pick one and do it well. I enjoyed the pieces of it, the mechanics, but when it comes down to it, it wasn't as much fun as I remember Camel Cup being. And it's too similar to Camel Cup or Formula D to really like be like, well, this is the advantages of it. No, and I just all around like Camel Cup better. So
yeah, I feel like, you know, I said, hey, it's Camel Cup and Formula D. It took like portions of it, but not the best portions of it.
Right.
And made it into a game. And so I'd rather play those other games because they do elements of it better.
Right. And just the visuals of like camels running around was more fun than a boring old race car race. Like,
I mean, of course, camels are goofy.
Now, I have seen people have, apparently there were some like Mario Kart toys that fit perfectly onto the board of Downforce. And then somebody had written rules to add in like the Mario Kart style weapons.
I'd say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would play a Mario Kart version of this where I still got to bet, but I also got to shoot blue shells. If whoever was like that.
I was just going to say, or you could squid somebody in the front three.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I would play that.
Yeah.
That was Downforce. There was no blue shells.
If you have a Camel Cup racer or Mario Kart Lite game that you would like to hear our impressions on, send them our way. You can do so via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com We also have Twitter and Instagrams running at First Turn Cast. And because we're talking about camels, don't forget that racing camel is just loping along. He's loping along and he turns and is like his big like splat just going like the slot, the splat just out of his mouth. And he's like, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. Play more games.
And I'm gonna end up airing the negative because I bid on yellow because I wasn't first for all of the race, so I get no money for my bets.
It's the eight ball.
I don't think you should do cocaine in race cars.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad idea.
Really?
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. Huh? Yes. Yeah, no, I got it.
I just didn't think it was funny.